Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 22nd. I'm Jonathan Aull. An ancient farming practice is getting a new life. Biochar is gaining traction as a regenerative agriculture practice that could help improve soil and sink carbon.
It's a relatively small industry. It's growing very quickly. And a lot of that growth is related to the carbon benefits.
The efforts to introduce more farmers to biochar, that's coming up on The Gateway. State lawmakers are at a standoff on authorizing a critical tax that funds the state's Medicaid program in Missouri. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports Senate Minority Leader John Rizzo doesn't know how it will end.
Missouri lawmakers need to pass what's known as the Federal Reimbursement Allowance, a tax hospitals place on themselves to fund the state's Medicaid program. Some Republicans have threatened to block what's known as the FRA without passing another measure barring state funds from going to Planned Parenthood. Rizzo said that without passing the FRA, it's difficult for senators to finish work on the budget.
That's going to be up to the Republican leadership and how far they're willing to go in order to maintain funding in the healthcare system.
Lawmakers have until May 17th to pass the FRA. If they don't, a special session is almost a certainty. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Department of Transportation is trying to curb distracted driving in the state as fatalities and work zone crashes reached a record high in 2023. Last year, 35 people died in work zone crashes. John Nelson is with MoDOT. He says that same year, work zone vehicles with mounted attenuators were hit 63 times. That's up from 2022.
So whenever you're approaching that work zone and you see that big yellow truck with the flashing lights and the arrow telling you to move over, that's not just a truck. That's a person in that truck, and that's a person who has put their lives on the line in that truck to protect the other workers that are in the work zone up ahead.
Missouri's hands-free law went into effect last August, banning cell phone use while driving. According to new preliminary data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Missouri and Illinois saw an overall decrease in traffic deaths in 2023. Lawmakers are one step closer to making big changes to Illinois' healthcare industry. Capital News Illinois reports state representatives passed the Healthcare Protection Act late last week. Sponsors say this will make healthcare more affordable and accessible. The act would ban the practice of step therapy. That's when insurers make a patient try one or more alternative medications before they can get the medicine prescribed by their doctor. Representative Anna Mueller sponsored the bill.
This bill is an important step in ensuring that our residents are healthier, live better lives, and save money in their health care.
The legislation would also ban prior authorization requirements for getting inpatient mental health treatment at hospitals for the first 72 hours of care. The plan passed on a bipartisan vote of 81-25. It now moves to the Senate. After years of redevelopment plans and renovations, Love Bank Park has reopened on Cherokee Street. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports the community-led project is the street's only public space.
More than 100 people gathered at Love Bank Park Sunday to celebrate its reopening, listening to music, playing chess, and basketball. The $1.3 million park was founded in 2015. Restaurateur William Porter worked across the street and would clean up the park, galvanizing the community to pitch in. He says it's been a lot of work from people across Cherokee to get to this point.
We just started believing, and we're here now. So it's a lot of hard work from a lot of people loving themselves and just loving each other, you know, putting good energy here.
The park is funded by donations from businesses and nearby residents, the Cherokee Street Community Improvement District, and a grant from the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Washington University shut down its long-running 13 Carnival early because of several fights that broke out at the event on Saturday. Officials closed the carnival at about 6:30 on Saturday, about 90 minutes early, and decided to not reopen on Sunday because of safety concerns. Vice Chancellor Anna Gonzalez said in a statement that the university made the decision to prevent an unfortunate situation from getting worse. Any unused ride tickets from the event will not expire. They can be used at other American Banner Carnival events in the future. 13 is the oldest and largest student-run carnival in the country, founded in 1907. As the country tries to meet its climate goals, tackling emissions from farming will be key. Agriculture is the fifth largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. One climate-friendly growing technique called biochar involves literally burying carbon into the ground. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports, proponents say it's good for crops, too.
Nick Cacchetti is mixing up something special in a bucket on his family farm in Lubering, Missouri.
This is biochar.
Biochar. It's a soil amendment, kind of like compost. And it's a super hot topic in sustainable agriculture. It looks a lot like charcoal. Instead of burning the organic matter, it's cooked at a high temperature with almost no oxygen. As Cacchetti pours the biochar onto vegetable beds, you can hear what makes this substance special. It is extremely hollow and porous. So why is Cacchetti so excited about this stuff?
Pure carbon. You know, you put it in soil, it's just there. You can just forget about it. It's gone.
Biochar is a direct way to sequester carbon, which is driving climate change. But there's a lot more to the climate-friendly practice. Biochar proponents say it creates a sustainable cycle of benefits on farms. For instance, recycling organic waste like corn stalks to make soil healthier and bury carbon. Isabel Lima first got interested in biochar more than 20 years ago, before scientists were even calling it that.
We were trying to address the incredible amounts of waste that agriculture produces.
Lima is a research chemist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and sits on the board of a nonprofit that advocates for biochar. She says indigenous people in the Americas have been using something like biochar for centuries. They would burn agricultural waste and put it back in the soil.
And look very deep in the soil and the Amazon, for example, and we determined that those soils that we would otherwise expect to be very infertile are actually very fertile because of those practices.
Without knowing it, these indigenous farmers were creating a demonstration for modern agricultural scientists. Now, we know biochar makes a really friendly environment for microbes, which can be great for soil and help crops thrive. That's something Scott Boer has seen firsthand. He owns Four Winds Farm with his wife in eastern Iowa. They grow organic hemp, flowers, and herbs. When they first started farming this land in 2020, they had a soil test done.
It was lacking in lots of different areas, so we spent a good bit of money on phosphorus, potassium, nitrogen.
They also applied biochar. Since then, Boer hasn't had to add fertilizer again. He thinks that's because the biochar is holding onto nutrients. Research backs that theory. Less fertilizer is easier on the environment and cheaper. But Boer says the biochar cost benefit takes a while to show up.
If you're in it for the long haul, I think it's a great investment, but it is quite an expense up front.
Cost is one of the biggest hurdles to widespread use, says Miles Gray, program director at the U.S. Biochar Initiative.
It's a relatively small industry. It's growing very quickly. And a lot of that growth is related to the carbon benefits of biochar.
Gray says thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, there are new federal funds to incentivize climate-friendly farming practices, including biochar. But getting farmers into it is still a challenge. Back in Missouri, Cacchetti has experience with this. He used to sell biochar in his first job after college and knows it has to add up for farmers. As he spreads more biochar out on his farm, he's especially excited that this is a long-term climate solution.
And once you put it in the soil, it's permanent. You can't, like, go fish it back out.
Experts say this carbon will be locked into the soil for generations.
Pretty quick layer.
I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story comes to us through Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.
Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.